when President Charles de Gaulle went before the world and his constituency the first day of 1968, January 1, I think it was, he assured everybody that 1968, the world was fine. It was nothing to think. It was just going to be a piece of cake. That would be 1968, what he was predicting. Didn't you sort of feel that way at the beginning of 2016 about Kimberley, British Columbia?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how's it turning out?
My memory of 1968 is Trudeau-mania. And
here we go again.
Here we are.
Well, it's been an interesting year.
It has been. It's hard to believe that we're almost November the 1st, 10 months into the year.
Yeah.
And a tremendous amount has definitely happened this year. And it's been a great year. It's been an absolutely fantastic year for Kimberley on many fronts.
You want to name three?
On the first front, tourism, which, lest we forget, still drives the economy here. We're up at least 10% this year. I think when the final numbers are in, it may be closer to 14 or 15%.
Do you credit the economy for
year
that
over
or
year?
Just our wonderfulness?
People are discovering Kimberley, you know, and it's the rebranding that we did 3 years ago. Now that we're 3 years in, that's having an effect, the consistency of the message going out. I think that the Sun Mine has had an incredible effect on the visibility of Kimberley, not just in the province, but right across the country.
North America.
Yeah, it could be. I haven't seen anything beyond the country, but I do know that we won our seventh award last weekend.
Great.
We have two national, four provincial and one regional award that we've won. And every time we win the award, it's not so much about the award itself, but the PR that we get surrounding it and the fact that this project has actually been done by a municipality like this gets us a whole new bevy of fans.
You bet.
And that this year has had an awful lot to do with the momentum that that we've been able to get. The Sun Mine is actually bringing people to town. People want to see Kimberley. They want to see the municipality that's actually stepped out and done a project of this nature. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It really is.
Okay, that's two.
Yeah, well, we're still on tourism.
Okay, this is 1.3. Okay.
Yeah, we're still on tourism here. So I think the combinations of those things have given us a wonderful year, despite the fact that the weather hasn't, you know, been the best. We talk about the sunshine that we get, you know, the reason we have the Sun Mine. And we probably had one of the crappiest years for sunshine that in recent memory.
And it's still.
Yeah, and as it rains and sleets today. So despite all of that, people have come to town. They've had a good time. There's a vibrancy around town that, you know, I think just about everybody is beginning to feel. And it's been good. So tourism would be number one. Secondly, and it's probably a corollary of the tourism, is that people want to move here. People want to live in Kimberley. There is this unique, vibe that has been created around town. And it has to do with younger people moving to town, young families wanting to live in Kimberley, and everything they want to do associated with that we have here. And it's being discovered. And it's being discovered not by the kind of the older set that are looking to either semi-retire or retire here, people who have been tourists in the past, but we're getting a tremendous number of young people that are working in Cranbrook and choosing to live in Kimberley. And it's where an awful lot of the young families are coming from. So that's had an awesome effect on our schools. Our populations are up in the schools. In fact, there was a statistic that just came out this past week. The school district 6, of which we're part of, had a growth of something like 68 or 70 students this year, and 44 of those are in Kimberley.
Wow!
So it's pretty. You know, all of the key indicators are that things are pointing up. Another one of those key indicators has to do with our building permits. We've had in excess of $10 million in value of those permits to the end of September.
And that's just 2016.
And that's just in 2016. 2015, the total for the full year was just over $8 million. And the year before that, it was, I think it was $4.8 million.
Well, so, if we extrapolate this.
Yeah. So we've, you know, so the feeling, kind of the run that we're on here in 2016 has actually been happening now for a couple of years. And, you know, we're, I think as a community, we're pretty thrilled about that.
Okay. All that thrill. Let's also not take all of our time being back padding, which is a good thing.
I want to.
We had
a, to me, breath-holding moment about labor relations between the city and its employees that, blessedly, I think came out well, but it was a little tense there.
Yeah.
Where are we with that?
Well, we have an agreement with the union, and it's basically back to business as usual. I think that, you know, with any time you have difficult negotiations like that, there's a little bit of a hangover that you get. And we're working our way through that right now, creating some new processes on how to do things a little bit better in collaboration with, you know, with the union. But yeah, it was difficult. We, as a municipality, had some changes that need to be made. We recognize that, you know, the employees, we didn't want those changes to be on the backs of the employees. And at the end of the day, I think it was a win-win for both of us. The employees received they received a raise. It was 6% over the 4 years of the term. There was an increase in benefits, two or three or four areas of benefits that got improved, and they all got to keep their special vacation, which was one of the contentious issues that the city had. So, if I'm an employee at the city and I look at, you know, the outcome, I think it was a fairly reasonable outcome. And similarly, from the city's point of view, the longer-term issues we were dealing with surrounding special vacation and the job evaluation system, we were able to make headway on that. So we were happy about that. So at the end of the day, even though it was a little bit tense, you know, a couple of times, I think we ended up, you know, where everybody is equally annoyed.
How are we as taxpayers?
As taxpayers, we're in a great position with respect to that contract. I mean, the 1.5% a year is a reasonable increase. It basically is in line with cost of living. And at this point, given our financial situation, it's all we were able to afford. And we wanted our employees to be able to at least keep even with cost of living. And we were able to achieve that. So again, as a taxpayer, that's a reasonable thing, and I don't think there are any taxpayers out there that would begrudge that kind of increase, you know, for the, you know, 90-some-odd employees that we have at the city.
Who work for us all.
Absolutely. And who do a great job, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, 91 includes seasonal and part-time. Mm-hmm. There's about 70 or 71 full-time, and we have an outstanding staff. They do an awesome job, and I think for the most part, our taxpayers feel the same way about that. I can tell you that management at the city does, and as does council. So, yeah, we're happy to have that passed us. It's a 4-year agreement, and we're looking forward to enhancing the relationship that we have with the union in particular over the next 4 years, so that when that contract is expiring, we don't get into the same situation that that we did this time.
That would be really good.
It would be very good.
Two questions. Just in terms of comparable, how does Kimberly now stack up against the other communities, particularly in this province? And secondly, the obvious question, and one of my concerns, is the potential long-term effect on, for want of a better word, morale.
Right.
Are we on those two?
Well, I guess where we stack up, our mill rate taxes continue to be at the high end. I mean, we managed to keep the increase to 2% last year, and council's mandate is to keep the tax increase each year to the municipal rate of inflation. So we have calculated what our inflation rate is, the increases in costs that we just don't control. In 2017, that number is 2.02%. And increases beyond that or decreases because of efficiency will also factor into that. But at least we have a starting point that says this is the basic minimum that we can't control, that we need to go to the taxpayers to, you know, give us more budget to work with. So we now are working off of that municipal rate of inflation and endeavoring to keep that mill rate tax increase as low as we possibly can. We continue, as I said, to be more or less at the higher end. When you look at the 14 or 15 municipalities in the Kootenays, we are probably number, I don't know, three or four. We're not the highest, but we are among the highest. And from a competitive point of view, it's really important that we are not in that particular percentile. We definitely want to have that lower. With respect to morale is a very difficult thing to figure. personally, I've always believed that I am responsible for my morale. If I don't like my job, or if I don't like something about that where it's untenable, it behooves me to fix that problem. It's not something en masse that I would go back and expect my employer to do. I think generally most people feel the same. And so what we need to do as an employer is to create an environment that allows people to get their jobs done in the most efficient way possible. The majority of people like their jobs. They enjoy coming to work in the morning. They enjoy the work that they do and are, for the most part, happy. But there's always going to be a group, and whatever that percentage is, and my own personal experience is about 10%, that no matter what you do, they're going to be unhappy, and they're going to try and make the people around them unhappy. And no employer can be responsible for that. And that's why I say that I think everybody needs to, look in the mirror and say, I'm responsible for my morale. And if I have a problem with my manager or any of the management in the organization, there's a process that I can use to bring that forward and request that it be fixed. And we have those in place. They're not perfect, and we're working to better them all the time, but the process does exist.
You took a holiday in Victoria recently.
A holiday?
Well,
what holiday would that be?
Don't spread that rumor.
It's a nice town.
but presumably, a facetious holiday.
Presumably, yes. You also did some work while you were there. and these are things some of which we've talked about over the last year. Did we win? Did we lose? How are we doing with respect to the province?
Speak to why you were in Vancouver,
yeah,
please.
So the the Union of BC Municipalities, UBCM, it's the AGM, basically, for all of the municipalities in the province. It occurs once a year in September. And so I was in, and it was in Victoria this year. I love it when it's in Victoria because the ledge is literally across the street. And when you visit ministers, it's in their office, and they have the opportunity to have all of their staff there. So for whatever issues you're bringing forward, everybody hears exactly what it is you're saying, and you have a higher probability of moving things forward as a result of that. So I had a number of meetings all week. I mean, there was probably about 10 of them altogether outside of the normal business of the AGM. And the two major issues were the resort municipality initiative, and the effort of the 14 RMs to get the RMI funding renewed in 2017.
Resort
Municipality
Initiative
funding.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's capital money that's allocated on the basis of the tourism volume in the community that you use for capital projects to build an infrastructure that provides a positive experience for people coming to town. It's a really, really important fund of money. Especially, for all of us, not just the small communities, but we really rely on that money to augment our tourism infrastructure here in Kimberley.
Is that how we got Jerry Sorensen redone?
No, Jerry Sorensen was an infrastructure grant, for the road rebuild.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, we're so close to being finished.
Great.
So the RMI has been going on for that renewal process for some time now, and we had a proposal that we presented to Minister Bond and her staff, and it's under review, and I believe that Minister Bond and her staff will be taking that to finance to formally have the program renewed. The question is going to be the funding. What funding formula is going to be used? And how is what does that mean in terms of Kimberly, for example, on how much money we're going to get from that program going forward? And that's all a work in progress right now. We advanced things. We advanced things quite a bit with the meetings. The second major biggest issue that I was down there to talk about was the was with forests and interior health over the watershed. And the watershed has become has always been somewhat of an issue. It's not one that's been front and center all of the time, but nonetheless is important because we get our drinking water from the watershed. It's basically what feeds into our dam, which is what feeds into Mark Creek, which is where we get our drinking water from.
This is big.
So it's a big deal. And we have all kinds of activity going on in the watershed and have had for a long time. Both logging activity as well as recreational activity. And the stance that the city has taken in the past is no activity in the watershed. But the watershed is crown land. It's a shared resource as far as the province is concerned. And we have no control over activity in that watershed. We negotiate things like cut blocks and things with BC Forestry through our watershed committee. And over the years that we've been doing that, we've managed to, I think, come up with plans that have been reasonable. So for example, over the entirety of, you know, kind of life to date, only about 10% of the watershed has in fact been logged. So it's a relatively small number. The issue is not how much, but where the logging has taken place. And there are certain areas that have better cuts of wood, the higher quality fiber, you know, versus others. So there tends to be a little more going on. And the job of the watershed committee is to negotiate with, in this case, BC Timber Sales, who's part of BC Forestry, to do it in such a way that it's not going to have an impact on the quality of our drinking water. So that's been going on for a long time, and it's been working reasonably well. But recently we've had some difficulties with that. So the difficulties in working our way through that were part of what that discussion was about, as was the cost of maintaining our water monitoring to ensure that whatever's happening up there isn't, you know, having an impact. It costs the city about $40,000 a year just to water the monitor the watering. And I think that the province should be paying for that. There's no reason why, you know, their activity should cause us to have to spend 40 grand. So that was another topic for discussion with Minister Thompson. And so at the end of the day, I think it was a very positive meeting. I think that we need to do some things as a municipality to kind of keep our house in order before I can go back to the province and, you know, tell them what they need to do. And one of those is not to have our head in the sand and say no activity in the watershed. There is activity in the watershed, and we need to manage it. And that's not just the logging, which we, in fact, have been managing quite successfully, but that includes recreation. Backcountry recreation is impossible to stop. It's impossible to police. And we have to come up with a method of getting these user groups to become stewards of the watershed. If I take a look at groups like the Nordic Club, like the Kimberley Trail Society, and these other folks, they are true stewards of their craft. They want things to be done right, and they want to do it in an environmentally sensitive way. And there's no reason to believe that we can't apply those principles to activity that's happening in the watershed. And so, you know, this is part of the discussion that we're having right now, both as a council and I think to a degree as a community, that we need to change the way we've been thinking about this.
None what of this kind of... sounds like a vacation to me.
thank you, Paula. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I guess I owe you an apology.
Yeah.
So what kind of leverage does Kimberly have in this process? You mentioned, you know, cleaning up our ag, behaving formally and informally in a more responsible fashion. But is this just a matter of trying to make a compelling case to the powers that be, or do we have any other tools at our disposal?
Probably both. I mean, as a municipality, no, we don't have compelling leverage. But what I have discovered over the last couple of years is that he who helps himself receives help. And whether we're talking about any of the initiatives, the Cranbrook-Kimberley Development Initiative, RMI funding, any of these things, if you go to the government and you have a case, you know, a good case that you're presenting, and your behavior is in a manner that says, I'm investing in my behavior to be the best I can possibly be, here's where I need your help to achieve this common goal. The response that I've had has been 100% positive. The ministries are not there to stop things from happening. You know, they're not there to grate on the municipalities. They're there to ensure that things run smoothly and that things that are supposed to happen, happen within the legislation that they're responsible for. And if there's something that's not working the way it's supposed to be, they want us to bring that forward. But what they don't want is for us to come whining about how we want them to fix our problem. What they want is for us to come with solutions and request their help in through the best solutions achieving the common goal. And I have found every ministry I've had to deal with very positive in the response.
Well, I want the other piece of that, of course, is the economic piece. If we fail to protect the watershed, it could get very expensive, right?
It can. We're talking about ultimately a filtration plant, you know, which is in the neighborhood of $30 million or something like that. So I don't think anybody wants to go there, including the province. And if we are able to come up with a management plan for this particular watershed we have, I'm confident that anything to do with water filtration is a long, long way out. But it's a very delicate balance. And if we don't do the things we need to do today, we would be surprised at how quickly that whole thing can go south. So we need to pay attention.
Do we have any exciting prospects on the horizon between now and the end of the year, or can you now relax?
This will be the beginning of the beginning.
This is not a job, you know, for relaxation. I think
for sissies. The age is not for sissies.
Where I spend the majority of my time, along with, you know, I keep dragging Scott Somerville, our CAO, into this. You know, his job is to manage the operations of the city, but it's also to help me in looking forward, you know, to painting the picture on where we're going to be in 3, 5, 7, you know, 10 years from now. And we have a whole host of things, particularly on the development front, that we're working on right now that we may not see come to fruition for a few years yet, but it's one of those things where if you don't start today, it's always going to be a few years out. So we have a lot of activity going on with respect to that, including movement on the Sun Mine expansion, the conference center, and a number of other things that we've talked about in the past.
Anything special with the mine that we need to know about or the conference center? Anything happening, or is this all planning?
No, we've got, we've actually had two offers for the Sun Mine that have come in. And the first one was a bogus offer, and the second one was just low. And so we're still working on the various proponents that are interested. So
I also want to remind you that that was one of the absolutely key things that got us here.
Yeah. Well, so I don't think I've shared this with you directly before. I think we've talked indirectly about it, but really the vision for what we're doing with this Sun Mine expansion with you know, a private sector investor or buyer, is to, once it's expanded, we want a business park that is going to be built up along Jim Ogilvie Way to literally plug into the Sun Mine and have the Sun Mine power that entire business park. And in that way, really be an attractant for the kinds of businesses that want to be able to say, this is the way we do business.
Clean energy.
Absolutely. Well, so it's a very powerful concept. And it's one that a number of the proponents that we're talking to about the purchase of the Sun Mine, it excites them a lot.
The challenge, of course, with solar, as with wind, is storage. Is that part of the thinking? Are we fighting that battle, or is that why you need private investment?
Yeah, it's a little bit early. There's no question. I think every year the technology changes, it gets better, the prices go down, right. And certainly by the time we get to the business park side of it, who knows where we're going to be with storage. It may be practical at that point in time, but it just isn't today.
Now I get to say Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you.